even in that movie, you know, even in the clip, you guys kind of get the understanding that in the world, there's some sort of disconnect between being elevated to a hero and then having some sort of recognition as that, and then also being kind of called that sidekick. And a lot of times in my life, if it wasn't for the people that I had to support me, I would have never been able to accomplish the things that I've been able to accomplish. You know, and that same thing may be for you as well. You look at your life and you recognize the people who are the heroes in your life, right? The people that you look up to, the people that you look back, and you know a stark point in your life to where somebody spoke to you, some hero spoke to you, and it made the world a difference in your actions, in your hope, in the things that you wanted to do, the things that you wanted to achieve in your life. And there was that moment in time where the hero in your life was elevated. But you guys have to realize that with every hero, there has to be some sort of support system for that hero. So the question we're going to be talking about today is what you see in your notes. If you guys pull out your bulletin, there's some notes along that you can follow with me and write some stuff down on what it means to really be that super supportive sidekick. So you have to ask yourself, you know, in looking at being a hero, you also have to look at how am I really at being that super supportive sidekick. And when you think of being a sidekick, you automatically, guys, you have to understand that being human plus the problems that we have in life equals we need to have help. We have to have help, right? We can't do it on our own. And even the people that are like the people that you're like, man, that person is awesome. Even in the movie, Sky High, the heroes needed somebody to help them along the way. Think of all the superhero movies that are out there where they had some sort of support system backing them, behind them. And a lot of the times, if I were to ask you guys, do you consider yourself to be a hero? I doubt any of you guys would throw your hand up. Well, you know, there might be a few of you who are so humble enough to do so, right? Throw your hand over there, you think that you're a hero. Everybody's like, oh, not me. J-Tone. J-Tone's the hero, not me. Everybody considers themselves not to be that. But really, in the power of God and in God's kingdom, he desires every one of you to be the hero. He has made every one of you to be the hero. But sometimes the hero is the person who's simply elevated. But the people who should really be getting some recognition is the support team beneath them. And you see that throughout scriptures all the time. Jesus, think of Jesus whenever he came down and he lived his ministry here on earth in the human form. Did he go at it alone? Was he a lone ranger? He was the best of the best, right? He was our God in flesh, but he didn't go at it alone. What did he do? He picked out some men to follow him, his disciples. Throughout scripture, you see time and time again where Jesus went off to pray by himself, right? He went to pray by himself. Early in the morning, he'd get up. Throughout the day, in the afternoons, he'd get up and he'd go and he'd pray by himself. But there was this one scenario in Mark chapter 14, just hours before the crucifixion, Mark chapter 14, Jesus decides to go off and pray one more time. And listen to what it says here, Mark chapter 14, verse 33. It says this, he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he became deeply troubled and distressed. He told them, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Even Jesus needed support. So what did he do? He pulled along people with him. He pulled along an opportunity to have some sort of support group, a sidekick, to be able to help him along the way. Because you know what, guys? Moses did not know that he was Moses, right? He didn't. At the time, he knew that he was just somebody trying to do what is right. And so often, we are just trying to do what's right. But in the midst of doing what's right, we need help. And the Bible says it's super important for you guys to understand that the people who are the heroes in your life, the people that you look at and you recognize and you trust and you are loyal to and you support and you want them to succeed, you need to realize that sometimes your leader struggles. Sometimes your leader needs you to be there beside them, helping them along the way. At one point in time, God put them in your life to be that support for them. God also put you in their life to be the support for them as well. Sometimes the super sidekick that you can be, it can either help your leader to soar or you might help them to sink. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at a few characters, four. We're going to look at four characters in the Bible that we would look at and be like, oh yeah, definitely a hero. You know, if I were to ask you guys a few people that come to mind in the Bible that you would say would be heroes, you'd probably spout off a few things, right? A lot of people who've gotten into the scriptures, they'd be able to pinpoint a few people. We're going to look at some of those people. But what we're going to look at even more is we're going to look at who helped them along the way. And after each person that we talk about, we're going to look at ourselves and we're going to kind of create this little assessment test, right? It's time to put it into practice. An assessment test. So you're going to be able to rank yourself 1 through 10. How well do I do at this? Okay, if I'm supposed to be the super supportive sidekick for my hero, how well do I do at this? So the first person we're going to look at in our notes is going to be Moses. Superhero number one, Moses. Sidekick was Aaron and Hur. So listen to this passage in Exodus chapter 17. It says this. Moses said to Joshua, pick out some of the men and go fight the Amalekites tomorrow. You got to know a little bit about the Amalekites. Though the Amalekites, they were some horrible people. Horrible people. In Deuteronomy chapter 25, it says that the Amalekites, as Moses was taking the people out of Egypt and they were getting rescued from Pharaoh and all that was going on. You guys know kind of the somewhat, you know, generic story of Moses. As Moses was taking the people out, it said the Amalekites were actually, they would trail behind the Hebrew people as they were walking through the desert. They would trail behind them and they'd kind of pick off the ones that were straggling. You know, so the older people, the women, the children that would fall behind, they'd come back behind them, they'd grab them, they'd kill them, they'd do horrible things to them. That's the kind of people that the Amalekites were. So Moses said to Joshua, pick out some of the men and go fight the Amalekites tomorrow. I will stand on top of the hill, holding the stick that God told me to carry. Joshua did as Moses commanded him and went up to fight the Amalekites, while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his arms, the Israelites won. But when he put his arms down, the Amalekites started winning. Then Moses' arms grew tired. Aaron and Hur brought a stone for him to sit on, while they stood beside him and held up his arms, holding them steady until the sun went down. In this way, Joshua totally defeated the Amalekites. Then the Lord said to Moses, write an account of this victory so that it will be remembered. That's a cool story. That's a really, really cool story. So Moses goes up and the Lord says, hey, listen, you guys are going to fight this horrible people. You're going to fight them. And as the day is long as Moses holds this staff up in the air, everything's going to be fine and the Israelites are going to win. But as soon as that staff starts to fall, that's whenever the Amalekites are going to start to win. You ever held something up above your head? I have for like 10 or 15 seconds, right? I'm a carpenter by trade. And there was lots of times you guys who may worked on a job site or a construction site, there's lots of times where you have to kind of hold something up. Oh man, this just came to mind. I was working. I think Aaron has heard this story. So, hanging drywall on the ceiling, right? We're hanging drywall on the ceiling, and there was this guy, and we're hanging these 16 footers. So these 16 foot sheets of drywall, they can get really, really heavy, and you got to hold it up above your head. Sometimes you're kind of stretching over this ladder and this pick and everything, and you're waiting for somebody to nail it up to the ceiling or screw it up to the ceiling. So sometimes it takes a little bit of time. You know what I'm saying? So you're stretching and you're hanging and you're like, oh my gosh, hurry up, my hands are gonna fall. And you're just saying, just screw it, You know? And I remember this guy this one time. He was an Asian guy and he was saying it was hilarious. It was just all day long I could hear from across the room, screw it. I'm like, somebody screw the drywall for him, and he's struggling. Imagine Moses doing the same thing. Except this wasn't just to hang a sheet, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. It was all night until the sun would come up. Oh, man, I just couldn't imagine. And wouldn't it be crazy if the story went that Moses just had to stand up there by himself? But did he? It says he went up to the mountaintop. He went up with Aaron, and he went up with Hur. And whenever Moses' arms start to get tired, what did they do? They brought a rock up there for him to sit on. And whenever he was tired and exhausted, they held his hands up when he couldn't do it anymore. And what happened? Victory. Now, you look at that story, and Moses could easily, at the end of that story, just be like, hey, that was me, right? Victory to me, right? Hero did it. I did it. But what did it say? Coolest part in that passage? Verse 13, listen to this. Verse 13, it says this. In this way, Joshua totally defeated the Amalekites. Not Moses, Joshua. Oh, the sidekick, right? Moses did some of the work. Joshua got the recognition. It would have been easy for Moses to come into it and say, hey, I did that, right? But it wasn't that way. The recognition was given to Joshua. Why? Because there were people who were helping them. And why did the people even bother to help? Why did Aaron and Hur even bother to help? Well, just up here, it says, whenever Moses was exhausted and tired and his arms started to drop, your leaders, your heroes in your life, they get tired. They get exhausted. They get wore out. They get burdened. Because the same things that you have to go through is the same things that they have to go through. So you have to ask yourself, man, look at that sidekick assessment question. How am I doing at supporting my leaders? Those same leaders that cry for you, those same leaders that dig in weekly for you, that prepare lessons for you, how well do you do at supporting them? Or do you sit back and you just attend? But you want to have all the joy, you want to have all the benefits, you want to have all the good things in life, but you don't support? I'm not sure how well that's going to work out for you. The second superhero we're going to look at is King David. David, everybody knows, right? The person who David killed on a good way, right? Who was that person? Everybody would say, oh, it was Goliath, right? He fought the giant and he killed the giant. David, clearly, when you look back at scriptures, he's going to definitely be one of the heroes that we talk about, obviously. But did you know throughout the scriptures that there's lots of times where David needed somebody to help them? And it's funny, too, you know, you think of that story with David and Goliath, and he goes up to the battle. You know, David, when he went to that battle, he wasn't even a hero. He was just a little, lowly, tiny little boy. The only reason why he went to the battle to even see the Philistines was because his dad told him, hey, son, David, go take this lunch up to your brothers where the men are fighting. David was a sidekick. David started off that. He went up to that battle just to take a lunch pail to his brothers. He gets up there, and you know what he saw? He saw the Philistines taunting our mighty Lord and Savior. And every one of the Israelite army members, the fighters were standing there, and they were scared to death because somebody out there was bigger, badder, and stronger. The Philistine army, the Goliath out there. David goes out there, the lonely little sidekick, right? He wasn't a hero then. David goes out there and he sees this Philistine and he's taunting and he's basically bashing his mighty Lord. And he said, how long has this been going on? Why isn't anybody out there? Are you just going to let them do this? You're just going to let them say this? So David went from a sidekick. God elevated him to a hero because of his faith in the Lord. Like that. And while you guys maybe didn't know that, you probably also didn't know that there was a giant that he was going to face later on, that the story could have ended that, oh, David fought and killed this giant. Awesome. But then all of a sudden, years later, a giant killed David. It could have been that way, but it wasn't. So look at this story. Pretty cool. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 21. Passage starts off like this. It says, once again, the Philistines, again, there's those Philistines, right, fighting the Israelites, were at war with Israel. And when David and his men were in the thick of battle, David became weak and exhausted. Ishbi-Benob was a giant, was a descendant of the giants. A lot of people believe, scholars believe, that Ishbi-Benob might have been a cousin of Goliath. So this other giant comes up to David, and it says his bronze spearhead weighed more than 7 pounds, and he was armed with a new sword. He had cornered David and was about to kill him. But Abishai, sorry, I didn't tell you, the king, the hero that we're looking at is David, the sidekick is Abishai. But Abishai, son of Zariah, came to David's rescue and killed the Philistine. Abishai was one of David's mighty men, and while people back then probably knew who Abishai was, knew that he was one of the mighty men. When David was cornered and he was weak and he was exhausted, he had somebody come in to be able to help him. He had somebody to come in to help protect him. to fight for him whenever they're exhausted. And you guys got to know that, man, your leaders, sometimes they get so tired and they get so wore out. And your heroes in your life, they get so broke down sometimes, they need you to stand up and protect them like Abishai did. But instead, sometimes we find ourselves, instead of protecting our leaders, we end up stabbing them in the back. Instead of being there for your heroes and helping them along the way, we kind of talk about them behind their back. Instead of your leaders being able to know that you have my back, I got to watch my back with you. Your heroes in your life, they need a supportive sidekick to make sure that they are protecting them. So ask yourself in that super sidekick self-assessment, how am I doing at protecting my leaders? Whenever they're not around, do you stand up for them? Whenever they're not around and whenever they're weak and they're exhausted, are you fighting for them? Are you protecting them? Are you looking for opportunities to give them relief instead of giving them burden? That's what the passage is talking about. So rate yourself 1 to 10. How well have you done at protecting your leaders, your heroes in your life? How well have you done? You know what's even cooler later on in the story of David and with his mighty men? David is aging and he's getting older. And he gets to the point where his mighty men come to him and they basically say, hey, David, listen, we're going to be going out to war, but we don't need you to go with us this time. I want you to stay back. You're too valuable and too important. If you go out into the battlefield and you die out on the battlefield, the light of Israel is going to be extinguished. You're that important. You're that valuable. Let us do the fighting now for you, brother. That's what he says. That's what the mighty men say. Man, that's awesome. I envision myself. And so, you guys, Max was up here and he was talking about Ashley. And Ashley's my beautiful wife back there. She was up here singing worship. Max was saying, I'm so glad that RJ and Ashley are over here and that they've been an inspiration in my life. And I think that I have. I love Max to death. I love a lot of you guys to death. You look at me and you may think, man, you may think that I'm something special, that I'm some... That I'm a hero, that I'm a leader and whatnot. The only reason why I've had the victories in my life is because our great God has. That's it. Moses, it would have been easy for Moses to say that victory was mine, but really it was God's. Your leaders, the heroes in your life, they're constantly needing you. Constantly needing you. They need you to support them. They need you to protect them. Not talk behind their backs. Not stab them in the back. Stand in the way and take some of the burden away from them. How well do you do with that? 1 through 10. Third superhero that we're going to look at in the Bible is Queen Esther. Queen Esther, man, this is really cool stories with Queen Esther. So Queen Esther, there was a queen before her. That queen went away. There was this like giant big beauty pageant where they were wanting to parade the queen in front of all these men and women and stuff, and they wanted to parade her naked to be able to show her beauty. And the queen wouldn't do it. So then all of a sudden, Queen Esther jumps in to play, and she's put into this status as a hero back then. She's elevated to this position to be a queen. But there's a plot that's going on. And the plot, see, Esther, Queen Esther was a Jew. But there was a plot to kill all the Jews. And her cousin Mordecai says this. Basically sends off a letter to Queen Esther. Mordecai's out in the public or whatever. Sends off this letter to Queen Esther up into the palace. And we pick up in verse 10. Let's pick up in verse 10. It says this. Then Esther told Hathach to go back to relay this message to Mordecai. All the king's officials and even the people in the provinces know that anyone who appears before the king in his inner court without being invited is doomed to death unless the king holds out his gold scepter. And the king has not called for me for over 30 days. So Hathach gave Esther's message to Mordecai. Mordecai sent this reply to Esther. Don't think for a moment that because you're in the palace, you will escape when all the other Jews are killed. If you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place. But you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for just such a time as this? Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go ahead, gather together all the Jews of Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, not day or night. My maids and I will do the same. And then, though it is against the law, I will go and see the king. If I must die, I must die. So Mordecai went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him to do. So we have Queen Esther, and we have the sidekicks as Mordecai and the maids. Mordecai and the maids. And what happened in that story? Esther is elevated to this position. But you know what? Sometimes your leaders are targeted. The heroes are targeted and they're attacked. And Esther basically says, oh man, hey, look, I can't go to the king and say, hey, listen, save the Jews. I can't do that, because the only time that you can go see the king at this moment in time is if he summons you to be able to go to the inner courts. Because if I go to the inner courts and he didn't summon me, that just means I could die. So I'm not going to do it. That's basically what Esther is thinking. And if Mordecai would have gotten that relay from Hathach, if he would have gotten that relayed message, just been like, okay, well, that makes sense. Okay. Jews dead. All the Jews dead. That's what could have happened. But is that what happened? What was Mordecai's response? Whenever Queen Esther basically said, she's speaking in fear is what she's doing. She's scared. Rightfully so. I mean, death is on the table, right? Rightfully so. Death is on the table. So Mordecai says this, hey, hold on a second now. Hold on a second now. Don't think for a moment that just because you're in the palace, that your people won't die and you won't die too. Just because all the other Jews out here are going to die does not mean that your relatives and yourself won't die as well. You need to do what's right. That's what Mordecai basically says. So what did he do for Esther? He prayed and he pushed her. You see, you as a super sidekick, you want to be a super sidekick for your heroes and for your leaders? You need to pray for them and you need to push them. Just like Mordecai did. If Mordecai would have taken that message and nothing would have changed and he would have never challenged Esther, he would have never said anything to Esther, who knows what would have happened. But ask yourself, how well are you doing at pushing and praying for your leaders? The heroes need that. Heroes make mistakes, right? Leaders screw up. Leaders do things that they shouldn't do sometimes, and they need the people who are going to support them, who are going to push and pray for them, and tell them what they need. If you sit back and you're that church and you become that membership that just lets the leaders do whatever they want without any kind of guidance, without any kind of encouragement, without any kind of pushing and praying for, there is going to be trouble along the way, a guarantee. There's going to be trouble along the way regardless. God says that there's going to be. You might as well get a reward from it by doing what's right. Shoot, we're going through trouble. You might as well get a reward. You might as well do what's right. Push and pray for your leaders. Whenever you see them, ask them, hey, what's going on? Do you need help with that? Can I pray for you and fast for you? Can I encourage you? Is there anything that you need from me? So how well are you doing? 1 through 10, think of that hero in your life, that cell leader, that leader in your life, and how well are you doing at pushing and praying for them? Rate yourself 1 through 10. 1 being horrible, I'm super sucky. 10 being I'm super supportive. Trying to think of an S to go with it. I guess that'll work. There's probably other S words that you could have thought of, but I'm not going to say that. Fourth hero we're going to look at. New Testament hero, Paul. The hero is the Apostle Paul. The sidekick is Onesiphorus. I like that name. If I could go back and name myself, I might choose Onesiphorus. I don't know what my nickname would be. One, Sif, Oris. I don't even know. Maybe call... We won't. I like the name. You guys probably don't even know very much about him. Heck, I didn't know too much about him until I was looking at the studies and trying to prepare for this. Paul, surely Paul doesn't need anybody, right? Paul is like the human of humans, right? The human of humans. But if you could go back at that time, you'd probably look at Paul and you'd be like, man, Paul would not think that highly of himself. But even Paul needed people to be able to push him along the way, pray for him, be there for him, challenge him. It says this in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 says, "You know that everyone in Asia has left me. Even Phygellus and Hermogenes has left me." So listen, what is he saying there? Paul is writing to another sidekick, first of all, in Timothy, and he's writing about another sidekick, okay? So Paul writes Timothy and basically says, man, all these people have left me. My friends have left me. The people I've invested in, the people that I trusted, the people that I longed to be able to be with, they've left me. I'm here in Asia. But there's this one, Onesiphorus. "I pray that the Lord will show mercy to the family of Onesiphorus. Many times Onesiphorus encouraged me. He was not ashamed that I was in prison." No, he was not ashamed. "When he came to Rome, he looked for me until he found me. I pray that the Lord Jesus will make sure Onesiphorus receives mercy from the Lord God on that day." Who does your hero, does your hero think of you whenever they long to be encouraged? When they think of being spurred on and lifted up, do you come to mind? When everybody else is leaving you, when everybody else is walked away, because it says that, man, when I was in prison, he wasn't ashamed of me. You know what happens when people go to prison, when the leaders go to prison and when the heroes of that time go to prison? Everybody else scrammed. Why? Well, if he's going to go to prison, shoot, if I stand up for that person, then I'm going to go to prison. Isn't that what happened whenever Jesus was crucified? Whenever the Roman government was coming to get him? Why did the disciples not stand up for Jesus at that time? Because he was getting taken to prison, and he knew, and they knew, that if they stood up the same way that Jesus was standing up to the rest of the world at that time, that they would be persecuted and thrown in jail the same way. People were looking for that for people. Who's the rest of his people? And the people were just, man, they were like scrambling like roaches in the light. You know? Are you a roach in the light? I don't think so, right? No, of course you're not. Of course you're not. When times get tough and when your leaders are being persecuted and whenever people are there, you're right there encouraging them along the way. Because Onesiphorus did the same thing. It said, hey, whenever Onesiphorus even went to Rome, man, I looked everywhere. He was not only not ashamed, he looked for an opportunity to encourage. I looked for an opportunity to find him. So ask yourself, in that assessment question, how am I doing at encouraging my leaders? 1 through 10, how am I doing at encouraging my leaders? And that word encourage means literally to put courage in. How well do you do at putting courage into your leaders? When you think of all those four people that we just talked about with those heroes, man, that's, yeah, you put yourself in the perspective and you're like, man, those guys are the elite. Those guys are the awesome ones. There's no way that I could do that. And it would be easy for me to just want to sit back and just assume the role as a sidekick. And I'm fine with that. If churches are planted, if people are saved, if God's word is spread and nobody talks of me for years to come, and after I'm long dead and gone, if nobody talks to me, I am okay with that, because the word of the Lord was spread, because churches were planted, and because people were saved. And you know what? You know how we accomplish that? We have heroes that God lifts up, but we have super supportive sidekicks right along the way. Be a super supportive sidekick, and I guarantee you that you'll be elevated, that God will elevate you, but you better use that position to glorify the Lord. So while we have, why should we support our leaders? Well, because RJ's telling you to. Anybody else got challenge that? You want to challenge that? You're not doing it because I'm saying it. You're doing it because of, in Hebrews chapter 13, it's going to tell us why. So we're going to look at six reasons for supporting your spiritual leaders. Not just because it would be easy for the preacher or somebody who's up here talking, or Wes or June or John, or, you know, you fill in the blank with Cody and Christy or Jake and Katie, because it's simply because they said so. No, we're not doing that. It's because your leaders are communicating the word of God to you. So what does it say here in Hebrews chapter 13? Why should we support our leaders? It says, remember your leaders. They spoke God's word to you. Think about the results of the way of their life. Copy their faith. Obey your leaders. Put yourselves under their authority. They keep watch over you. They know they are accountable to God for everything they do. Obey them so that their work will be a joy. If you make their work a heavy load, it won't do any good. Make their work a heavy load, and it's not going to do any good. So six reasons that we pull out of that passage, the reasons why we should support our leaders is one, because God commands us to. He commanded me to. Look at the beginning of the passage. It says, remember your leaders, obey your leaders. God is commanding you to. He's not suggesting it. God knows how vital your support is. He commands, his commands are for our benefit. God's not asking you to do this, church. He's telling you to. And that's not for me to stand up here and say, you need to do everything that I say. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that you need to look to your leaders and you need to make sure that you're listening to them, especially whenever that leader is communicating the word of God to you, especially. So why do we support our leaders? Because God has commanded you to. Second reason why, because of what they have done for my life. Well, what have my leaders done for my life? Because of what they've done for my life. Look up in that passage. What did your leaders do? They spoke God's word to you. They keep watch over you. Man, if you got somebody who's speaking God's word into your life and you're pushing them away, good luck. Good luck with the trouble that the world is going to throw on you. But if you've got a leader, if you've got somebody in your life who is presenting the word of God to you, think of how precious that is. You think God just comes in and when you want something different in your life and you want to become a better man and you want to become a better husband and you want to become a better son or a daughter or a father or a mother, you want to become all those great things, and you've got somebody who's speaking the word of God to you to tell you that things could be better, and you don't listen? Be careful. And 5 years down the road, don't come grumbling and complaining. Not because I want to say I told you so, but because I longed for something better for you, but for some reason you didn't. Remember what your leaders have done for you. It's kind of like that gratitude, right? The word of God that speaks saving grace into you. Remember that. Remember how awesome it was whenever you started to receive those words. If you've surrendered your life to Christ through baptism and you've died to yourself, remember that moment whenever you heard those saving words and it got into your heart and it changed you. It made you a better woman. It made you a better man. It gave you an opportunity to have kids that actually adore you and long to see you come running home every night. You've got a church family that loves to be able to meet on a Sunday, a Tuesday, Wednesday, guys' night, a celebration, a small group in the evenings. They long to be able to do something great for you because of that saving grace through the word of God. That's the gratitude. That's the looking back and say, man, that thank you so much for doing that for me. But do you know where all that originated from? It originates from when Jesus came down and offered the same thing to you. At some point in time, your hero needed to hear those words. Your leader heard those words and they accepted it. Those same saving words that give you an opportunity to have a good life here and an eternity with Christ is the same thing that your hero and your leader heard from Jesus. When you look at the cross, be grateful for that. Be grateful for that the word of God was presented to you and solidified and verified through Jesus dying on the cross. 2,000 years ago, whenever Jesus did die on the cross, guys, they took that celebration every single week for that one thing that I just mentioned to you, gratitude, to be grateful for where you've come from, to be grateful for what Jesus has done in your life. And as we at our church, we look to have that opportunity every single week, whether that be in your small group or here at church. And that's what we're going to do right now. We're going to have an opportunity to look back at the words of Jesus, look back at Jesus dying on the cross, and remember that that gift was given to you because you were so richly loved by your leader, by your Savior. So as we sing, as we pass the cup with the juice in it that resembles the blood that was shed for you, and you take that cracker and it's the body that was broken for you, remember that your leader has blazed a path for you. And you need to listen to him, and you need to follow him. Let's pray. Father, we come to you and we thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to remember your son in this way. Thank you for giving us your words. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to every single week be grateful for what you've brought us through. Your son is the ultimate example and the ultimate display of that love, and help us to cherish that with everything and to let it show out in the way that we love each other here on a weekly basis, on a daily basis, in the way that we want to impact the world for you. Father, thank you for your son. Thank you for that suffering and that pain that he endured so that I could have a saving relationship with you. And we pray this in your son's name. Amen. We do have such a great Father in heaven. Such a great Father in heaven to be able to give us not just his son, which is the best of the gifts, but to give us an opportunity to make it. I've struggled so much in my life in various different things, and it's been so taxing and difficult sometimes. And you may be going through the same exact thing right now. Or if you haven't, you will. You young people, life is tough. Listen to your elders here. And not me, because I'm not old yet. Listen to your elders. Go ahead, raise your hands now, elders. Hey, life is tough. When you don't have an opportunity to have some sort of rock pointing you in the right direction, you never know what's going to happen. I went to a funeral for a girl, Alicia, who hung herself. She came to our youth ministry for a few years. Came to our youth ministry, moved away, hung herself in Georgia, brought her ashes back up here, and I went to the funeral. And I don't know why that happened. I really don't, you know? I don't know why. You don't know why people feel the way that they do, but they feel it. It's not necessarily wrong, it's not necessarily right, it's what they feel. But whenever Jesus comes into your life and gives you an opportunity to point you in some sort of direction, and you don't want to follow, and you don't want to listen to your leaders, like I said before, be cautious. Because life is difficult with people, it's even harder alone. Look at your leaders. God put them in your life to open up an opportunity to heal you, to help you, not to hurt you. So you look at that passage in Hebrews chapter 13, and we pick up the third thing, the third reason why you need to follow your leaders and you need to support them. Third reason is because of the result of the way of their life. Look at your heroes. Look at your leaders. Do you like what you see? I joke around and I say, man, I'm doing two things. I'm looking and I'm liking. I'm looking and liking. You can look and like all you want, but if you don't do anything with it, you're just going to be looking and liking instead of experiencing. In a relationship with God, following your leaders is an opportunity to experience. A lot of times we want the fix like this. We want the fix like that, but it doesn't work that way. Time and time again, you see throughout the scriptures, I can't pinpoint any time in scriptures where somebody said, man, I want to be able to have something different. I want to be able to have a good life. Lord, I want to follow you. Can you fix that for me? And God just went like this. I don't remember. I can't think of a time in the New Testament aside from maybe one. And that's whenever Paul, when Saul was blinded and received his sight back. But what happened whenever Paul's blindness came upon him? It said that the angel of the Lord told him to go where? Why don't you go talk with somebody? God has put people in your life to talk with you. Those are called your heroes. Those are called your leaders to be able to speak the word of God to you. So look at the way of their life, and if you like that, then follow it. Look at the way of their life and mimic it. Fourth reason why you need to support your spiritual leaders is because they will answer to God for your soul. Your leaders have a big task in front of them. They have a commission from God to make sure that they are the shepherd that takes care of you. You want to know why that leader is so nosy and in your business is because they love you so much. It's because they care for you and for your kids. If they did not care for you and your kids or your family or yourself, they probably would cast you to the side just like the rest of the world might have already done. But they don't. They've taken the challenge to love you and to love your family. They cry for your family. They pray for your family. They look for opportunities in Scripture to be able to give them guidance through the Word. They don't just walk around carrying this torch because sometimes they just want that position and they want to be able, they work for it. You know what? And a lot of the times those leaders who love you and serve you, and they feel that burden to protect you and guide you, they feel that burden on their soul, they do that. 95% of the leaders that you have within your church, they don't get paid for this. They do this because the Lord wants them to make sure that they're pointing somebody in the right direction and they're wanting to share the word of God to you. So that leader, understand the reason why that leader and why they need your support is because they are responsible in part for your soul. There's a passage in Obadiah where it talks about how these robbers and these people would come in and they were taking and pillaging and taking away all the gold and silver and these treasured possessions from a family member, from a brother meaning like a church congregation. This is my brother, you know, this is my brother, this is my sister, stealing from the brother and sister, and you sat back and you did nothing. You're just as bad as them. That's what the passage talks about. So when you think of your leader, just know that you need to support them because they're going to answer for you. Fifth reason why you need to support your leader is because I want them to experience joy and sorrow. I want them to experience joy and sorrow. You guys work with people sometimes, or just have some friends with people, and sometimes you have that one person that's like, oh my gosh, you're such, oh God love you. God love you. Here they are. You know, you got that person. You're just like, just kind of difficult to work with sometimes. Just they're really, man, they're growing my patience. They're growing my grace. You know, you got that person. You have those people. Sometimes you got that person that's like, man, that's my go-to. I can ask you to do this. I can ask you to do this and I can walk away. I know that it's done. I know it's going to be done right. I asked Chris a couple years ago to put in Reggie to build this smoker for this big hog that we were going to smoke for a luau a couple years ago for the youth ministry. I am not a welder. I've welded enough to know that it is not my gift. So I knew these two could do a really good job. So I said, hey, listen, can we do this? I'd like to maybe try to be able to have this. I just wipe my hands of it and let them go at it. They know exactly what they're doing. That's the kind of people that your leader needs to have within you. Your hero, your leader, needs to be able to look at you and be able to rely on you because you give them such joy instead of sorrow. Are you a burden for them? Ask yourself, am I a pleasure to lead or am I a pain? Are you a pleasure or are you a pain? And be honest with that. And let me encourage you, if you feel like you've been a pain at some times, why don't you go to that hero in your life and talk with them and just let them know, hey, I'm sorry I've done that. I'll tell you something. Robert called me up on Wednesday. He called me up on Wednesday and I was working at the time. He said, hey, you're going to be over there at Collinsville this Sunday, right? Can you preach? What am I do? Say no? I guess I could. I could have, but I just didn't feel like it was the right, maybe there's things to say no to and there's things not to. I didn't feel like that was a good reason to say, a good thing to say no to. So I said, sure. I could have said no. Heck, I could have been the kind of person that Robert wouldn't even have been able to rely on. But I would rather communicate poorly to you guys and have the willing heart to try to do what's right than to sit back and have the ability to communicate and not do it. You understand what I'm saying? I know that I'm not the best, and I am okay with that. I really am. But for me to sit back and to not want to be able to give joy and give relief and be a pleasure for my heroes in my life to be able to rely on me, shame on me. Don't be that. Don't be that. Support your leaders because you want to give them joy rather than sorrow. Are you a pain or are you a pleasure to lead? And the sixth reason that we're going to talk about is because it will bless my life. Now, back up in Hebrews 13, whenever I was reading at the end of that passage, verse at the end, it says, if you make their work a heavy load, it won't do you any good. Before, when I read that passage, I said it won't do any good, but specifically it says it won't do you any good. You follow your leaders because it'll bless your life. You support your leaders. You're there for your leaders because it's going to bless your life. If you don't do those things, if you don't push and pray for them, if you don't support them, if you don't encourage them, encourage your leaders every once in a while. If you don't do those things, it's not going to bless you. And literally, that word, not to bless, whenever it's talking about in Hebrews chapter 13, it literally means unprofitable. Unprofitable. Not break even. It's not talking about that. It's literally saying that you will lose. You will take a loss. Unprofitable. So when it comes to the heroes in your life, know that your heroes in your life, they don't know that they're heroes. They don't know that about themselves. They're just trying to follow the Lord, just like you should be doing, just like God wants you to do. But in the midst of having those heroes in your life and those leaders in your life, you need to know that the best leaders and heroes that there are have the most amazing, super supportive sidekicks. And maybe that's who you can be. Our church is an amazing church. It is. You want to talk about having support? I can't tell you how many times it would be late in the evening, an emergency would happen, and I could call. I could literally make a phone call or make a post on Facebook, and I guarantee you, I could have over 100 people at my house helping me. I guarantee it. You want to know why? Is because of the support that God has given us. Not because I'm great, but because our God in heaven is great. Your heroes, your leaders, they need you. This isn't a one-man show. The reason why this is so good is because you're so good. Not because of me, not because of Robert. This isn't five people that's overseeing three churches. It's not that. We have people all throughout our church within different ministries that get elevated to a position because you guys are so good. You're the supportive ones. What makes our church so great is because we follow the Lord and we support the people that God has put in our lives to speak the word of God to us. You might not be elevated to a hero position or a leadership position, but you may be the best supportive sidekick that allows God to soar through your leader. Be that, because the world needs that. And if you're visiting with us today, guys, and you don't know what it means to have that authentic, saving relationship with God, I want to encourage you, get with somebody, talk with somebody. Mark that on your bulletin. If you look inside your bulletin, there's a communication card. Pull that out. It's an opportunity for you to put into practice. You like anything that I said through the Word of God? If you like anything that you heard today, fill that out. What does it mean to become a member of the church? What does it mean to get to know what it means to have a real authentic relationship with God? Can you pray for me? You got prayer requests? Well, write those down. I don't know what it is that you're going through in your life. I don't know what has happened to you in your life. But regardless of what you have done or what anybody has done to you, God can heal you. And it takes support. You can be a hero, or you can be a super supportive sidekick. Both of them are great. What we're going to do is I'm going to pray, and after we sing this next song, it's going to give you an opportunity to fill that communication card out. So please do so. And as the baskets are going by after the second song is sung and we stand up and the baskets are going by, put that communication card in there. Allow God to work within your life. If you're visiting with us today, please do not at all worry about putting anything in that basket aside from that communication card. We don't want to take anything from you. We want to be able to give you something. Okay? I'm going to pray, and then we'll sing some songs. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning, and I want to just thank you for your peace, for your patience within me. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you, Father, for being that great and amazing God that has put people and heroes and leaders in my life to guide me and to support me. And Father, I know that even in my walk with you and being a leader within your church, Father, I know that there is no way that I have been able to make it on my own. This is not good because of me. This is great because of you and because of the people you've put in my life to support me. And Father, help us to look to you for the answers through the struggles that we have. Father, help us to grab a hold of a group, a church, your word, a church that really desires to get into your word and follow you the way you would want us to. God, help us ultimately just to know that there's always hope, there's always an opportunity for forgiveness, and it always comes through your guidance, and you speak through people to be able to get us there. So help us to listen. Thank you for your love. We praise in your son's name. Amen.